The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
Tonight's show, the NFL free agent frenzy, Major League Baseball, the NBA lockout, Beastie Boys' new toys, Facebook censorship, Jay-Z's tour, and top movies at the box office, and much, much more. Tonight, happening on Unsigned. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. This is The Unsigned Show. My name is Ryan, your host. Welcome to another Tuesday night edition, again, of The Unsigned Show. I'll tell you what, it's been a pretty crazy week, and we're going to lead off with the NFL this week. Again, a lot of things we want to cover, Major League Baseball trade deadline, a lot of great stories on Off the Path tonight as well, as far as bands splitting up, the Beastie Boys, Jay-Z, 50 Cent, the list goes on. A lot of good stuff we're going to cover tonight. It's been hot. It's been humid. Like I said, the NFL is back out. A lot of teams had their first practice in full pads today. A lot of places it's over 100 degrees. I'm outside of Nashville, Tennessee. It's 101 degrees as a high today. So you can imagine how hot it would be on a field wearing shoulder pads and a helmet and full gear in 100-some degree temperature. But nonetheless, football is here and everyone is excited. It has been a crazy week for football. We're going to jump right into it. I labeled it last week as the frenzy free agent extravaganza. It just rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it? And just like I thought last week, it really has been crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. And I wanted to start with the Arizona Cardinals. A lot of buzz was made that they were going to make a play for Kevin Cobb, and that ended up happening. A big trade was made. Kevin Cobb, formerly of the Philadelphia Eagles, and we'll get into the Eagles here a little bit, but Kevin Cobb goes to the Arizona Cardinals. The Eagles, in return, get a second-round pick for next year. And they also get a star cornerback, Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. Now, the Arizona Cardinals, they do lose Steve Breston to the Kansas City Chiefs, and they also lose defensive tackle Alan Branch, who ends up with the Seahawks. And we'll get into the Seahawks here in a little bit as well. Now, rumors that they may be interested, this is the Arizona Cardinals, they may be interested in Braylon Edwards. Now, they also did sign veteran tight end from the Baltimore Ravens, Todd Heap, no longer a Baltimore Raven. Now, Braylon Edwards' situation is interesting because the market is not as great as he thought it was. He's not who we thought he was. Well, as a Cleveland sports fan, no kidding, really? Apparently, there's not a market for a loudmouth wide receiver who's got hands made of stone. Surprise, surprise. Then he ends up with another scuffle at a bar in Detroit with his entourage. So not only do you have to deal with Braylon Edwards, you also have to deal with his entourage. We had the problem in Cleveland when he played in Cleveland. They had the problem in New York, which is one of the reasons New York didn't re-sign him. The guy's loudmouth. And yeah, I'd be surprised if he ends up anywhere. But I think the guy is a good player, no doubt. I think that he obviously has some maturing to do as far as being a professional athlete is concerned. Be interesting to see if he ends up with Arizona. I think he'd be a good fit in St. Louis. Remains to be seen where Braylon Edwards is going to go. Another team making some big splashes this week are the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons are on the Super Bowl hunt. There's no doubt about it. Now, they did lose former Ohio State wide receiver Michael Jenkins. Michael Jenkins is going up to Minnesota. Not really that big of a loss, according to the Falcons, you know, considering what they gave up to get rookie Julio Jones, who, according to reports, has been as advertised in camp so far. Now, interesting, you know, all that changes when you get into a game, but as of right now, it's translating and it looks very good. You see the product on the field. He's going to open up a lot of things for that Atlanta Falcons offense. Also, again, Michael Jenkins going to the Minnesota Vikings. The Falcons, they needed help on defense, so they pick up big-time defensive end Ray Edwards from the Vikings. Now, Ray Edwards in the offseason, you know that guy was in shape because he spent his offseason boxing. I don't know if anybody saw the footage of Ray Edwards, who's he's a big dude, by the way. Super heavyweight, throwing haymakers. This guy he's like, you know what, I'm going to stay in shape in the offseason. I'm going to go do some boxing. Credit Ray Edwards. I look for him to make a serious impact right away. Double-digit sack guy, no doubt about it. He's going to have a big impact for the Atlanta Falcons defense because that's what they needed. Not only did they add to their offense, they also added some defense as well. Now, the Baltimore Ravens, moving on with the free agent extravaganza, the Baltimore Ravens made a lot of cuts, including Willis McGahee, who is now a Denver Bronco. They also lose longtime defensive tackle Kelly Gregg, who also ends up with the Kansas City Chiefs, and they lose safety Fabian Washington to the New Orleans Saints. Now, we look at the Buffalo Bills. They lose starting linebacker Paul Puslusny, played at Penn State, very solid linebacker, high-energy guy, pretty much guaranteed to give you 80-plus tackles a year, no doubt about it. He's going to end up in Jacksonville now. And they also added safety Dewan Landry and linebacker Clint Sessions, and also the Buffalo Bills pick up former Green Bay Packer Nick Barnett as well. Now, Nick Barnett has some injury concerns, but I think he can fill in right where Paul Puslusny left off. And I think really they can't go understated. A multi-purpose guy, running back, receiver, guy who can return kicks, Brad Smith, who left the New York Jets, is going to play in with the Buffalo Bills. Leave the Jets to play for the Bills in the same division. Gutsy move. You look at the Cincinnati Bengals moving forward here with the free agent talk in the NFL. The Bungles. Chad Ochocinco's gone. He goes to New England in a blockbuster trade. They get a few draft picks for him. They re-sign Cedric Benson. They pick up Nate Clemens. The reason they pick up Nate Clemens at the corner position, who was formerly of the San Francisco 49ers, the reason they pick Nate Clemens up is because they lost star cornerback Jonathan Joseph to the Houston Texans. Now, here's the thing with Cincinnati is that, you know, they drafted A.J. Green. I think he's going to be a fine receiver. So, using, you know, it's a youth movement. It's a rebuilding process there as much as anything in Cincinnati. You have the rookie quarterback, Andy Dalton, they drafted from TCU in the second round. You have Carson Palmer, who basically said, you know what, unless you trade me, I'm going to retire. I'm done. I'm selling my house in Cincinnati. I'm out of here. I'm going to Idaho in my cabin with my $60 million in the bank. Heck with it. I'm retiring. That's exactly what it did. Credit to Carson Palmer. But the Cincinnati Bengals, I don't understand the mentality. I mean, Carson Palmer has value on the trade market, especially at this time period that we're in right now. I don't understand why Mike Brown and the Cincinnati Bengals wouldn't just try to get something, whether it's a, you know, second, third, fourth round pick out of a veteran quarterback, and, you know, make a pitch to Miami, make a pitch to Seattle, you know, maybe even San Francisco. Why they wouldn't do that, I don't know. That's just old school Mike Brown, his old mentality. You're not going to tell me what to do, quarterback. Go ahead and retire. Heck with you. And that's exactly what Carson Palmer is going to do. Heck with it. He's going to retire. Now, speaking of Ochocinco going to New England with the New England Patriots, again, blockbuster move. The New England Patriots also land defensive tackle big Albert Haynesworth. Now, two seasons ago when Albert Haynesworth was here in Tennessee as a Titan, was one of the best, if not the best, defensive lineman in the NFL, period. Dot, dot, dot. No doubt about it. He got the big $100 million contract. He saw, I don't know, 60-some-odd million of that. And then Washington, you know, he's obviously disgruntled there. It's well-documented. He had some legal issues in the offseason. Again, well-documented. Washington's like, we have to get rid of him. We got to dump him. He doesn't want to be here, and he doesn't. He doesn't want to play in the 3-4 defense. They trade him to New England, you know, for a fifth round pick. You paid that guy all 60 some odd million dollars in two seasons. You get a fifth round pick out of him. Good job, Washington. Now they absorb all the money. Now New England brings in Chad Ochocinco, big Albert Haynesworth. I swear, if New England would ever do HBO Hard Knocks, that would be the locker room to be in with those guys. But you know what? Bill Belichick, you know, he coached in Cleveland years ago. He's from the Bill Parcells tree of those old Giants teams. Has found a way to bring guys in. Corey Dillon, Randy Moss come to mind. Guys who were thought to, you know, had seen better days and were at the bottom of the hill, so to speak, end up coming in and having productive years. So there's no reason to think that Bill Belichick can't get these guys to play in his system. And I fully anticipate that he'll be able to. Now, the Washington Redskins, who are, I guess they're hanging their hat on Rex Grossman or John Beck or somebody at quarterback. We'll see how that goes. They send quarterback Donovan McNabb, who they paid a bunch of money to again in the trade with Philadelphia last year. They send him to Minnesota. Now, Minnesota has lost some key players. They lost Sidney Rice. They lose quarterback Travaris Jackson, who signed with the Seahawks. Again, there's the Seahawks. They've done a lot of different things. We'll get to them in just a second, I promise. Now, funny story about the McNabb thing going to Minnesota. Now, obviously, Brett Favre is finally staying retired. You can put the nail in that coffin, I believe. Now, McNabb wears number 5, as everybody knows. He's worn it through his whole career, even when he was in Philadelphia and he had his Pro Bowl and really his best days. 5 NFC title games, Super Bowl appearance. Never won the big one, but definitely was always in contention there in Philly in his prime. Now, their punter in Minnesota wears the number 5. So their punter's like, yeah, you can have my number 5 jersey. You can have it. But what I want you to do first is go ahead and donate $5,000 for the charity and buy me an ice cream cone because it's hot out here. In training camp. Even in Minnesota, it's hot. That's how hot it is in the Midwest and the eastern part of the country, really all over this part of the year. So McNabb agrees and, you know, signs the little thing they had in the locker room that he'll donate $5,000 to charity and buy the punter an ice cream cone. Ah, punters, making the news. So I expect McNabb to do pretty well in Minnesota. I think they have a lot of talent still on both sides of the ball there. Whether or not they're a playoff contender remains to be seen. That division is looking very tough. You have the Super Bowl defending champion Green Bay Packers. You have the Chicago Bears, who were in the NFC title game last year versus the Packers. And you have the Detroit Lions, who are no joke. The Detroit Lions are building a winner there. Now, the Seahawks, who I mentioned, they've done a lot. Like I said, Sidney Rice, Travaris Jackson, Alan Branch. Now, today they also signed Zach Miller from the Raiders at the tight end position. So the Seahawks adding pieces at the offensive line, defensive line, receivers. They're getting some weapons there. They won that division last year with really no offensive firepower whatsoever. So they add some defense. They add some offensive weapons. The Seahawks are looking pretty good. Pete Carroll is spending money in Seattle and looking to win that division and get back in the playoffs. Now, let's talk about my Cleveland Browns. One of the quietest teams in the free agency right now. Really quiet, in fact. Now, they had, starting in free agency last Tuesday, they had $35 million to spend in free agency. They lose Eric Wright to the Detroit Lions. Kenyon Coleman signs with Dallas. And they lose a few other people as well. Jason Trusnik, among others. I just heard rumor that Mike Roth is also going to be trying out for New England Patriots at linebacker as well. So they've lost some depth that they've built over the last couple seasons. Now, they did make a few pickups. They signed safety Usama Young from the New Orleans Saints, which I really like that pick. I think him and Mike Adams will compete for that starting safety position. They get offensive tackle slash guard John Greco, local product, grew up in Boardman, Ohio, attended the University of Toledo. Multi-purpose offensive lineman, which they definitely needed, so a very key pickup there. They also pick up another running back, Brandon Jackson, from the Green Bay Packers as a free agent. I really like that add-on as well. Now, here's the strange one. The Browns, their GM right now is Tom Heckert. He was the GM in Philadelphia for years. Now, they make a trade with Philadelphia to bring in defensive tackle Broderick Bunkley, who was a first-round pick in 2006 of the Philadelphia Eagles. Plagued by injuries, hasn't really played up to first-round pick status, but still serves as a defensive tackle for a team switching to a 4-3 defense. So Bunkley never shows up to camp, which voids the trade. Thus, the Browns, who at that point traded a fifth-round pick, get their fifth-round pick back. Bunkley says he doesn't want to be a part of Cleveland. He doesn't want to go to Cleveland. And as dysfunctional as the Denver Broncos are, they end up working a trade for him to go to Denver for an undisclosed pick that happened in 2013 that goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. So Bunkley ends up as a Denver Bronco and thus bunks the Browns. It's been that kind of offseason for Cleveland. Hardly any real free agents, and the trades they make, the guys still don't want to come there. So, you know what? Heck with him. He doesn't want to be there, then you know it's probably better off they don't have the guy. Now, here's the big winner of free agency. Not only do the Eagles, again, get rid of Kevin Cobb, they get Cromartie in the second-round pick, and then they shock everybody with the Nnamdi Asamoah. Everyone's like, oh, he's going to Dallas. Oh, he's going to New York. He's going to go to Tampa Bay. You know, the list goes on and on and on. No, not so fast. He's going to New England. What? He's going to New England? So now New England has Asante Samuel, Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, and Nnamdi Asamoah, probably three of the top, eight, nine, ten quarterbacks in the league. Now, I expect them to trade Asante Samuel. Hopefully the Browns get on that. They need help at corner. That would make sense. That's just the fan in me talking there. Now, also, they land the big prize there in the free agent pool. And then they add former defensive tackle Colin Jenkins, who was on the Super Bowl team starting tackle for the Packers. And they get defensive tackle Jason Babin and former quarterback Vince Young as a backup from the Titans. The Eagles are making a big-time push to be a Super Bowl contender. And then today, they signed former Miami Dolphins running back Ronnie Brown to a one-year deal. I mean, they had draft picks, and they've added a boatload of talent, a total of nine guys overall, most of them former first-round picks. The Eagles are really making a push, and DeSean Jackson's like, I'm holding out. And the Eagles are like, okay, well, you go ahead and hold out. For more money, while you're holding out for more money, we're going to go ahead and basically build our defense, build an offense, bring in a boatload of talent and make a run at this. Andy Reid, I think, definitely is feeling the itch that he wants to get a ring, and that front office is making a move. I commend the Philadelphia Eagles for making smart business decisions, gathering draft picks, getting talent, not necessarily just talent, but getting talent that has a lot of football left to play. That's the key. Not only are you getting talent, you're getting guys that have a lot of football left in them. You're not getting guys at the end of their career. Jenkins, Cromartie, Babin, Ronnie Brown, at a running back, he's been in the league 6 years, still has some football left to play. Nnamdi Asamoah, one of the best corners in the league, has a lot of football to play. And they had draft picks. Kudos to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the New York Jets, they lose out on the Nnamdi Asamoah deal. They did re-sign Santonio Holmes and the other Rodgers-Cromartie, they signed Plexico Burress, who was released from jail on gun charges. Now, Plexico Burress was saying, I'm going to go talk to the Giants. I'm going to talk to the Steelers, two teams he used to play with, and put up huge numbers with those teams. Super Bowl MVP with the Giants. But I didn't see him going to either of those teams and rehashing that out, especially with the Giants. I just didn't see it. So the signing with the Jets teamed up with Santonio Holmes makes a very potent combination for a young quarterback, Mark Sanchez. A lot of targets there to throw at. Now, the Miami Dolphins, although they lose, their running back, Ronnie Brown, they do make a play and land Reggie Bush from the Saints, who also bring back Jason Taylor, who played 1 year with the Jets. Jason Taylor, I expect him to end his career as a Dolphin, as well as he should. He spent most of his years, if not all of them, in Miami. Now, the rumor of quarterback Kyle Orton being traded to Miami, that's kind of fizzled out. It still could happen. Unlikely at this point, depending on what both sides are looking to make happen. New Orleans Saints have made very subtle moves. They've re-signed from within. They had 26 free agents. They've signed over half of them so far. And they replaced Reggie Bush, which clears out a bunch of salary cap space for them. And they pick up former running back from the San Diego Chargers, Darren Sproles. That's a very solid pickup. You combine him with Pierre Thomas, and you combine him with rookie running back Mark Ingram, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram. That's a potent combination in the backfield, and they have tons of weapons, and they have Drew Brees at quarterback. The Saints, again, a very potent team. They kind of dropped off last year, a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. I expect them to be better than they were last year. Now, the New York Football Giants, they're one of the teams who have been very, very quiet, considering they're really right on the cusp. They missed the playoffs the last couple years, coming off the Super Bowl win a couple years ago against the Patriots. Big-time defensive end UC Umanyora, they bring him into camp. Now they're saying, go ahead and, having his agent look for a trade. They want a first-round pick for him. I don't see that happening at all. I don't think anybody's going to give them a first-round pick for Umanyora. He's had some hip injuries, some knee injuries, injury plague the last couple of years. Big-time edge rusher when healthy, no doubt. There are some teams, I think, that may make a play for him, teams that are contenders, such as the New York Jets. Again, Umanyora is a guy who can get you double-digit sacks in a season. Now, the Giants did add veteran quarterback David Carr to back up Eli Manning. That's a very minor move, just solidifying the backup role. Teams interested in Umanyora are the Rams, Ravens, Chargers, Broncos, and boom, there's the Seahawks again. I wouldn't be surprised if Philadelphia just throws their hat in too. They seem to be picking up everybody at this point. The St. Louis Rams, moving on here. Like I said, this is a lot of information to process, but you know, it's been a crazy week of free agent football. Woo! Football season right around the corner. St. Louis Rams pick up wide receiver Mike Sims Walker, and were one time rumored to be interested in Ronnie Brown. Obviously, that's not happening. I think OC Umeniora teaming up with his former coach, who's now the head coach of the Rams, Steve Spagnuolo, makes sense. I don't know if they would necessarily go that direction, but it seems to make sense. It'd be a good situation for him. Be comfortable to go in with somebody that you already know. Now, the Chicago Bears, another team that was very quiet early on. They picked up a lot of former Dallas Cowboys. They picked up wide receiver Roy Williams, and they picked up running back Marion Barber. I think Marion Barber will excel in that Mike Marks offense, as well as Roy Williams, really. The Bears are very underrated. They have a lot of talent on both sides of the football, especially on defense. Woo! That is your Frenzy Free Agent Extravaganza update here on the Unsigned Show. Like I said, a lot of information to cover, and keep tabs on as best as I can. My Twitter feed is going crazy. You know, NFL.com, the Bleacher Report, all these different things going all over the place. Reaching out to some connections I have. Speaking with Daryl Ryder, who we've had on the show, has helped out quite a bit as well. So thanks to him for some of the information he's passed along, according to the Browns and you know, things that are going on in the AFC. Now, with that being said, let's go off the path. Let's get on the path and go off the path. Does that make sense? Let's go ahead and do that. This is something we've been doing on the show for a while. Basically, we talk about things that are non-sports related. Take a step back, especially all that information. Soak that in. Let's go off the path. And tonight on Off the Path, again, a lot of things I want to cover. I want to lead right off with action figures. Remember those big old action figures you had as a kid? Well, hey, the Beastie Boys have made a trio of action figures. Spike Jonze directed video, Don't Play No Game That I Can't Win, which is these action figures are in that video, are now available for purchase on the group's official website. The toys, which will basically stand about 11.5 inches tall, complete with a number of outfits and accessories, are being produced in a limited edition set by Nowhere LTD and Bathing Ape. Now, the Beastie Boys toys do not come cheap. Each set will, get this, will cost $750. Now, all proceeds of that $750 will go to the Pablo Foundation and Alex Lemonade Stand, two charity organizations dedicated to fighting children's cancer. So, yes, the price tag is high, but what that money is going to is, I think, is a great cause fighting, again, childhood cancer. So credit the Beastie Boys for, you know, coming up with really a very creative idea to, you know, to make something charitable, to get people involved. And if you're interested in seeing the video that features the dolls in the video, definitely check out the group's official website for the video, Don't Play No Game That I Can't Win. Now, moving on and off the path, Kings of Leon have canceled the remainder of their summer tour in the wake of a disastrous show in Dallas this past weekend on Friday night. The show was cut short when lead singer Caleb Followill left the stage to vomit. Well, at least it wasn't the fans leaving the arena to vomit, right? Now, according to the Kings of Leon representative, Followill has been suffering from vocal issues and exhaustion. And the band have opted to scrap their tour altogether as opposed to playing subpar gigs for their fans. Now, due to the Kings' touring commitments abroad, their U.S. shows will not be rescheduled. Tickets for those gigs will be refunded. Either the point of sale or automatically refunded if the tickets were purchased online. The band will head back on tour on September 28th at a show at the Rogers Center in Vancouver. Now, this show was originally scheduled in September the 14th. When apologizing on Twitter, bassist Jared Followill wrote, there are internal sickness and problems that need to be addressed. And I know you guys aren't stupid. I can't lie. There are problems in our band bigger than just not drinking enough Gatorade. So that right there tells me that obviously the lead singer of Kings of Leon, Caleb, obviously may have some larger issues than, you know, just vocal issues and exhaustion. That's how his PR is spinning it. But his bandmates know obviously there's something bigger going on there. Hopefully he finds a way to, you know, to correct whatever personal problem or sickness he has, whether it be drugs, alcohol. Hopefully it's not that, but whatever it is, hopefully they figure that out. We've seen enough of this in music with the Amy Winehouse and other things we've talked about on the show as well. So, you know, definitely don't want to see, you know, that happening. So it seems like the band is being proactive, taking a break from the road and, you know, trying to get their lead singer straight before they hit back out. So hopefully everything works out there. So if you have tickets to see King's Land from now until or any shows, you know, in the U.S., you may want to contact, you know, whoever you got your tickets from and get your refund. Good luck with that. Now, here's something. Here's a story. When I saw this today, I was super, super excited. A band that I absolutely love from the 90s. And here's the story for you. L.A. is a city that we love. It's got rebellion in its blood, declared Rage Against the Machine, Zack de la Rocha, to the roaring, swirling masses gathered at the band's L.A. Rising Festival and the city's Coliseum this past weekend, Saturday night, sounding on a new phase of the band's Battle of Los Angeles. Rage Against the Machine created a 9-hour L.A. Rising Festival as a hometown show of force and a renewed statement of purpose. Joining them are bands The Muse, Rise Against, Miss Lauryn Hill, Immortal Technique, just to name a few. Now, Rage Against the Machine's L.A. Rising was Rage's very first major concert in Los Angeles in over a decade, and the band's only scheduled live performance in the year of 2011. The words came during an expanded jam in the middle of the song Wake Up as the singer-slash-rapper Zack de la Rocha rallied against illegal drugs, homelessness, and foreclosure signs that stretched the horizon. He urged fans back into the streets just as the band erupted again with blasts of thundering hard rock sounds and joined the crowd. The crowd joined Zack de la Rocha as he snarled in enraged lyrics, "You reap what you sow." Man, to be at that show, I tell you what. I'm a huge Rage Against the Machine fan. Zack de la Rocha is a great songwriter. And this is really just what music needs, is for Rage Against the Machine to make a comeback. It's just what the doctor ordered. Now, backstage before Rage Against the Machine took their set, bassist Tom Comerford said the band actually has been reunited since 2007 and is actually a fully functional operational unit again. Now, Tim Comerford said, recent rehearsals for the festival stretch beyond the band's catalog to create new musical ideas. He said, "We're jamming with Zach and Zach is throwing freestyles. That's really how we write music." He said, "To me, that's very, very exciting." Now, rumors are really swirling about Rage Against the Machine gearing up to celebrate, get this, celebrating their 20th anniversary this year. Can you believe it? Rage Against the Machine's first album, the album with the Burning Monk on the cover, self-titled album, is going to be 20 years old. Wow. Now, guitarist Tom Morello, in another story, kind of spins into this with the Rage Against the Machine spin. Tom Morello's alter ego, the Night Watchman, is releasing his third studio LP titled World Wild Rebel Songs. It's going to be released on August the 30th. Now, while most of the previous work of Night Watchman has been acoustic, this particular record will feature a full electric band. The debut single, Save the Hammer for the Man, features Ben Harper on guitar and vocals. Again, this CD does hit store August the 30th, the same day the Chili Peppers' new album hits as well. Tom Morello said, "Troubled times call for trouble songs." In a statement, "Worldwide Rebel Songs is an album of arising hopelessness. At this point, the Night Watchman has brought along his electric guitar to tip the scales. Looking forward to hearing some of that." The first and second Night Watchman are very different from what you would expect from Tom Morello. Obviously, it's a very acoustic, full sound. Not that the electric sound is not full. Again, just, you know, it's really his alter ego, as the story reads. So it's big stuff, Rage Against the Machine, Tom Morello. Let's just hope Rage Against the Machine comes out with a new album. One more album, that's all I ask for. It's just what music needs. It's just what this generation, I think, needs as well. You need someone to say what needs to be said as far as, you know, political views, things that are going on in this country debt-wise. And we usually don't get on that show, and I'm not going to get into it, but I really think music through generations has always been able to say what they need to say and what's going on in the world. And who better than Rage Against the Machine to really put it in perspective? Zack de la Rocha, again, great songwriter. I look forward to hearing a new album, any new song, if that were to come to be. Moving on here tonight on Off the Path, Jay-Z and Kanye West. Well, they haven't even begun their tour, which is called Watch the Throne, their collaboration, the rap duo. Now, reportedly, these guys are already crashing, according to the New York Post. The Raptors are barely even speaking over dispute over production values on their tour, which is set to kick off in Detroit on September the 22nd. Now, the New York Post source says that Kanye West is pushing for a flashy concert with next-level production, while Jay-Z is focused on keeping costs low in their interest of paying back a long-term advancement from the promoter Live Nation. Jay-Z says he can't – this is speculation, of course. Jay-Z said he can't deal with Kanye. An insider from the New York Post said, Jay-Z is a stone-cold businessman. He's got 99 problems, and Kanye West might be one of them. Unbelievable. He said he wants to recoup all of his money from Live Nation, but Kanye West wants to upstage rock stars and have a big blowout show. He said he doesn't care about cost. He has a lot less to gain from these shows. Now, again, there is some speculation the two have refused to even share a stage together on last Monday's show in Manhattan. Jay-Z denied that there's any animosity between the two on an interview on Hot 97 in New York. Of course, what else is he going to say on a radio interview? He says, yeah, he's like, you know, sure, he gets on my nerves and we push one another to be greater. He's my brother and I wouldn't dare put my hands on him. Take that as you were. What else is he really going to say? These guys are basically locked into doing a big tour together. They won't even share the stage together. So, yeah, 99 problems, but Kanye West ain't one. Moving on here and off the path, more rap news. I don't even think we've actually done back-to-back rappers or even really one full rap story. So circle this on your calendar. Second rap story of the night, 50 Cent, or 50 Cent, however you want to say it, has a beef with his record label. He's not happy with the way Interscope Records has been handling his yet-to-be-titled fifth studio LP. The In the Club rapper has decided to cancel the upcoming release, claiming label executives dropped the ball. It's probably because his records really aren't selling like they were four albums ago. He said he's upset at how it's being handled, blah, 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 blah. 50 Cent. He's got a cheap name, too. Moving on tonight here on Off the Path. Here's something. This is Facebook doing some censorship on the classic Nirvana album, Nevermind. Now, Facebook has removed the cover of the band's 1991 album Nevermind, which is off their social networking site. They've completely removed it. The posting of the cover of Facebook was part of a campaign to promote the September release of the 20th anniversary deluxe edition of Nevermind. Now, Facebook took issue with the fact that the artwork featured a naked boy, which actually ends up – it's a baby on the album if you haven't seen the cover. And such things is totally against policy. Facebook does not allow photos – that attack an individual or group or contain nudity, drug use, violence, or other violations in the terms of conditions. And then in the story it says, please read conditions. We're not going to rattle off the Facebook conditions, terms, and bylaws here on the show. Despite the fact that the kid on the cover, who is now 20 years old, is perfectly fine with his privates being made public, Spencer Eldon told The Hollywood Reporter, well, quite a few people have seen my penis. And so that's kind of cool. So Facebook doing their best to censorship an album that's been out since 1991. Way to go, Facebook. Good job. Moving on and off the path tonight. This I found out this last night, the band Disturbed, after over a decade together, selling more than 13 million albums, the Chicago native band Disturbed is preparing to do an indefinite hiatus, according to frontman David Draiman. Draiman announced the news on his Twitter account in response to a fan's question about rumors that the band is breaking up. And while he admitted that he has no idea what Disturbed's long-term plans are, their immediate future is pretty clear. We haven't said that we're breaking up. We simply do not know yet, said the singer. All I can say is that we're on an indefinite hiatus. He added that, again, you can't really get into reasons why Disturbed were planning on taking a break. He simply wrote, let's just say it's time. Draymond was equally mysterious about his future plans and writing, saying that he was always going to be involved in music in some level. Now, Disturbed is currently on tour in North America with Godsmack and Megadeth for the 2011 Mayhem Festival, which wraps up August the 14th. That's going to wrap up August 14th, which actually takes place in West Palm Beach, Florida. There have been a handful of South American dates released for the end of the month. And then at that point, Draymond again says, at that point, the band is, in quotations, the band is done. So for, judging by his take on this, it's not a hiatus. It is the band is done. It's over. So Disturbed, after you know, nearly 10 years together, selling over 13 million albums, sounds like they are they're done. Don't take that as you were. Moving on here on Off the Path tonight, we're going to do the top moves at the box office. We do this every week. We'll start from number 10 and we'll work our way up to the top. The movie Cars 2 at $2.3 million. The movie Zookeeper at $4.3 million. Transformers Dark of the Moon at $6 million. Horrible Bosses, $7.1 million. Friends with Benefits, $9.2 million. Crazy Stupid Love at $19.1 million. Harry Potter! And The Deathly Hallows Part 2 at $21.9 million. Now, I did have a chance to go see this movie. My wife, Carolyn, is a huge fan of the books and the movies. Me, not so much. Now, I will say this. The movie, editing-wise, script-wise, actors, actresses, is very well done. It's just not something that I'm particularly into as far as the story and the books. Now, I'd say if you're a fan of the Harry Potter movies and the films, you probably have already seen it and love it. If you haven't, from what I've heard and from people who really enjoy the six other films, this is a very exciting film. There's some good action in it as well. I will say there's some good action scenes in it, more so than the previous. So if you're a fan and you haven't seen it and you're like, I don't know if it's going to be that good or not, if you're on the fence, I'd say if you're a fan of the series, go see it. You'll love it. If you're not a huge fan, you probably Netflix it. Captain America coming in at number 3 at $25.5 million. Now, here's one. I tell you what, stack me three apples high on this. The Smurfs, which if you've seen the trailers, looks like a god-awful film, is $35.6 million. The fact that people went and saw this movie, I'm sorry, I've seen the trailers. It looks awful. I'm sorry. It doesn't look bad. It looks as cheesy could be. It doesn't look well acted. It just doesn't look good at all. Smurfs in New York, I'm sorry. It just doesn't work for me. $35.6 million. The fact that people went out in the United States and spent $35.6 million to see a really shoddy-looking film amazes me. It really does. But number one movie this week, Cowboys and Aliens. That looks like the ratings look very good. I mean, you have Daniel Craig, who plays James Bond currently, Harrison Ford. Very good cast, very well done. It's done by Jon Favreau, the guy who did Iron Man. So I anticipate going to check that out and give a full review on it at some point here. So stay tuned for that here on Unsigned, Cowboys and Aliens. Seems like a combination that wouldn't blend well, but apparently it does. Now, this has been your section of Off the Path. Like I said, supersized section tonight. So we're going to jump right back in to the sports section of the show. This is Ryan. This is the Unsigned Show. Thanks for hanging out with me. I appreciate it. Gosh, you know what? I've been just rattling on and on and on here tonight. Let's go ahead and open up the phone line. 724-444-7444. Caller ID 939-64-POUND. PIN number is 1 and pound. You want to talk about any of the movies? You want to talk about any of the music stories? You want to talk NFL, free agency? Feel free to give me a call. Put your 2 cents in, and we'll definitely give you your chance to say your piece. Now, again, let's go on with Major League Baseball here. The trade deadline just ended this past weekend, and we'll go ahead and break some of the big moves down and also the standings like we do every week. We'll start with the American League East. The Boston Red Sox, who lose last night to the Indians, we'll get to the Indians in a second when they get the AL Central, only hold a one-game lead over the New York Yankees. Now, get this. The New York Yankees make zero moves at the trade deadline for the first time since 1998. They really needed to find some pitching. Now, granted, there wasn't a whole lot of pitching to be had, They really needed some front-end pitching. They were unable really, to, I guess, to find anything they really like. Nonetheless, they've won 7 out of their last 10. They're only a game out, and they're, you know, basically have a stranglehold on the wild card if they don't catch Boston anyway. So there you have it. Now, moving to the AL Central, this is starting to really shape up to be a very interesting race here in the AL Central. The Detroit Tigers hold a 2-game lead over the Cleveland Indians, who finally found their swing last night at Fenway Park. Now, the Indians roll the dice and make some moves at the trade deadline. They pick up this gentleman named Fukudome from the Cubs, guy who can get on base, good on base percentage, add some speed and flexibility in the outfield. They also pick up some more pitching as well. They pick up Ubaldo Jimenez from the Rockies. Now, the Indians did give up 2 young prospects, but you know what? They're really trying to make a move to the playoffs now. Ubaldo Jimenez contract is actually priced really low, and you know, you get to keep him for a couple of years. He's potentially an ace pitcher. I mean, the kid has got an arm. So, you know, some people were like, the Indians gave up too much, you know, and they've faded. They've lost, you know, 7 out of their last 10. They've really faded. They really, you know, everyone's like, they need to pick up a bat. They need to pick up a bat. And I've even said that, and I come think about it. All their bats are on the DL. You know, so when Sizemore and Sinsyu Chu come back here in a couple weeks, there you go. There's your bats. Then you pick up some pitching. You get Fukudome. So I think the Indians can really make a run. Their schedule, again, is very tough. They have finish up the Boston Red Sox, then they have Rangers, Tigers, White Sox, Tigers. So I mean, you talk about, you know, a really hard road. You have, you know, you play first place Boston, you play first place Texas Rangers, then you play first place Detroit in your own division, and then you play the White Sox, who are only 2.5 games behind you. So the Indians, you know, this is gonna tell a lot here in the next, basically the first 2 weeks of this month, whether the Indians are legit and are going to make a run to win the pennant in the AL Central. Now, heading to the AL West, you have the Rangers. They had Mike Adams as a pitcher, really solidify their rotation and their bullpen. Mike Adams, who has an ERA of 1.31 and over 151 innings pitched, they pick him up from San Diego, again, bolstering their bullpen. And the Rangers, you know, they can hit. They're 500 out of their last 10, 5 out of 5, and only a 2-game lead on the Angels. The Angels really didn't make any moves, but I tell you what, they have solid pitching, and they're really a surprise team and have really stayed close to the Rangers within striking distance. You know, if they can get hot, they'll be right there. Now we move to the National League. You have the Philadelphia Phillies. Philadelphia, the rich keep getting richer here. The Philadelphia Phillies land Houston Astros' Hunter Pence. You know, this is really the bat a lot of people thought the Indians or other teams would go after. They get, you know, he's a solid right-handed hitter and a solid outfielder. He's a great pickup for the Philadelphia Phillies. And the Braves, everyone thought they were going to stand pat. They're 7 games out of the Phillies. I don't think they're going to catch the Phillies, but they have to keep the wild card spot. So they make some moves. They needed some speed, and they needed someone to play center field, and they got both. With Mike Bourne, they gave up 3. They gave up 4 prospects to get him. 3 of those prospects being young pitchers. They gave up a lot, but they got what they needed. Again, the Braves are 63-47. Yeah, they're 7 games out of the NL East, but again, they got to get that wild card spot. Now you look at the NL Central, which has been really the craziest division in baseball this year. The Milwaukee Brewers add Francisco Rodriguez. That gives them another closer. They have a 3.5 game lead now. They've won 8 of their last 10, 7 in a row. The St. Louis Cardinals playing .500 baseball. The Pittsburgh Pirates, they added Derek Lee and Ryan Ludwig, but they've really slumped. They've lost 7 out of their last 10. They're now 5.5 games out. The Cardinals are 3.5 games out. What a difference a week makes. Now, last week, all these teams were separated by half a game, and all of a sudden you have Milwaukee going on a big burst and winning 7 games in a row, and all of a sudden they got a 3.5 game lead as we head into August. Again, still a lot of baseball to go. Anything can happen. The way this division has been up and down all across the board, my pick to win the division, Cincinnati Reds, are 7.5 games out. That just shows you, just goes to show you, you never know what's going to happen in a very long season of baseball. Heading to the NL West. This is a 2-team race, has been for quite some time. The Rockies became sellers. They're 10 games out. But here you go. You have the Arizona Diamondbacks who pick up John Jason Marquez, who is an effective reliever, and Brad Zegler. So they add more pitching to an already solid pitching staff. They've won 7 out of their last 10. They're only a game behind, but really at this point, they're really chasing the Braves for the wild card spot. The San Francisco Giants, again, they add a big bat, Carlos Beltran, and they also get Orlando Cabrera, who is a winner and will provide some solid defense on the infield. They've lost 6 out of their last 10. They have one game lead, but I'd be surprised if they don't win this division. They pretty much have to win the division because I think the Braves are going to be the wild card. I really do. This has been your Major League Baseball recap. My name is Ryan. This is Unsigned. Hey, thanks for hanging out with me. Hope you're having a good time, having as much fun as I am tonight. Now, if you've listened to the show for a while, you know we've talked about this. I talked about the University of Texas having their own network. Now, it's a couple months ago we've talked about this now. This came out today. Big 12 athletic director, Big 12 athletic directors, voted Monday to prohibit the broadcast of any high school sporting events on a newly created Longhorn network for at least one full calendar year. The conference announced that the ADs voted unanimously to forbid such content on any medium branded as the conference or member institute platforms. Controversy has been stirred up, suggesting that Texas could grow basically a recruiting advantage, which is something we brought up on the show, if they were allowed to launch high school games on their network. Athletic director instituted that one-year mandatory decision was made and is not to be lifted unless the NCAA rules on such content that it would be permissible. The ADs also suggested that the Big 12's board of directors should encourage the NCAA to impose similar one-year infractions across the country on other teams' networks. I don't know any other teams that have their own network. I know conferences have their own networks, but how many teams have their own network? This is University of Texas network, so it's interesting that they would want the NCAA to take a look at this. That's the last thing we need, is the NCAA now negotiating TV contracts and what you can and cannot do with your TV network now. gotta love the hypocrisy that is the NCAA, right? Now, Texas is a Big 12 school. As we've said, the network that qualifies, although Texas A&M, Oklahoma have discussed putting their own network together, the Longhorn network was created with a 20-year $300 million deal with ESPN and is set to launch August the 26th. Woo! I think last time I said, hey, you know what? The University of Texas is going to be, volleyball, football, cricket, any sport you can think of, they play there. I said, hey, you know what? They ought to get a camera and Kappa Veda Zeta at their sorority house and put that up on their network too for after hours. Why not, right? May have the Playboy network run it. $300 million deal with ESPN for 20 years. And I believe on the last time we talked about this, the first 10 years of it is guaranteed, no matter what. Kind of like that. So there you have it. University of Texas getting a little mandate. No high school games will be shown on it. But some of the other Big 12 schools, I think, are trying to piggyback on it, like Texas A&M, Oklahoma, that are creating their own network. Can't really blame them. I mean, you're in the Big 12. How do you compete with that? So there you go, NCAA news. Now, let's head to the NBA. You want to talk about a sinking ship, the Hindenburg, whatever you want to call it. The NBA is that as far as their negotiations on their lockout. David Stern returned to the bargaining table on Monday and said, quote, "Nothing gave me reason for encouragement." And for that, the NBA commissioner pointed the blame in one place. This is David Stern. This is exactly what he said. He said, "I don't feel optimistic about the players' willingness to engage in a serious way." So the first meeting included leadership from owners and players. This is their first meeting since the lockout began exactly a month ago. Player associate executive Billy Hunter was there. Derek Fisher, who is the president, and also Theo Ratliff, who is the vice president of the Players Union, was also present. Both those players are with the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, this is their take on it. It's a tough position to be in, Fisher said. I think Peter, Glenn, Taylor, Commissioner Stern, Adam Silver are articulating certain things in the room, expressing their desire to get a deal done. But their proposal lies make it hard to believe that they're willing to do so. So we're continuing to try to work around what's been said and really focus on a deal on the table. Right now, we're still a very, very long way away from getting a deal done. Now, David Stern, not to be outdone, disputed Fisher's take on the owner's actions. He's entitled to draw his own conclusions, Stern said. We have absolutely the opposite take on it. Fisher said the sides would try to meet at least two or three more times in August. Stern said, hey, it's always a good reason to have meetings. Yes, it is. Right now, we haven't seen any movement. There's a big wide gap between the players' union and the NBA, which we pretty much thought anticipated going into the lockout at the end of June. We knew that was going to be the case. It also came out earlier today that the NBA is going to sue the players for, you know, basically not taking this thing serious, not willing to negotiate a fair business model. So not only are they very far apart on basically every single category, whether it's revenue sharing, free agency, length of contracts, salary cap, I mean, free agent rookie scale, the list goes on and on and on, things they just do not agree on at all. And now they're going to get some lawyers involved. So look for a shortened NBA season. Heck, if they even have an NBA season at all at this point. And you know what? The NBA is going to take a big-time back burner. They're going to take a seat because you know what? Football is in full swing. You have Major League Baseball playoffs. Then you have the football regular season that starts. Then you have the World Series. And then you have NFL playoffs. So if the NBA doesn't play, you know what? The casual fan of the NBA – and next week, we're going to have Mr. Jeff Sack on the show, a gentleman who we've had on a couple times to talk some NBA with us and really break this down and any other news that comes out about the NBA. But you know what? I'm a huge NBA fan, as everybody knows. We've talked NBA a lot during the playoffs and during the regular season on the show here in the last couple months. But you know what? The NBA really has got to take a look at it. I mean, you have players leaving you overseas. They just don't agree. They're not seeing eye to eye here. You know, and you look at, you know, the NFL free agency. It would basically overshadow the trade deadline for Major League Baseball. Then you have the season for NFL starting. You know, like I said, you have all these events happening. You have the NFL full season, World Series. Then you have the NFL playoffs. Heck, you know, by the time anybody cares, it'll be February. And they go, oh, what happened to the NBA? Oh, yeah, they haven't been playing at all. And here it is, February. At that point, they won't care. That's, unfortunately, the reality the NBA is facing, that people will just go, you know what? Oh, well. You know, we got all these other sports. We'll worry about it in February. Heck, they probably won't even really worry about then, because then you got college basketball and March Madness. So you have all these events, other sporting events that can really thrive because there's no NBA. And I expect those other sports that I just mentioned to do just that, and that's thrive. Moving on with other NBA news here tonight on Unsigned. Sports analyst and former NBA player Jalen Rose was sentenced to 20 days in jail Wednesday for drunk driving when he crashed along a snowy suburban Detroit road. Now, Rose did attend University of Michigan. We talked about this story back in March. The incident happened. Rose was actually originally sentenced 92 days in custody, but District Court Judge Kimberly Small sentenced all but 20 days to him. He also was given a year probation as well. So also, it says the judge said that you're not here because you drank. I have a problem with the fact that you actually were drinking and driving. I do not mind if you go drinking, but don't get behind a two-ton vehicle and put the rest of us at risk. Rose pleaded guilty in May at the time and said he veered off the West Bloomfield Township Road in March after drinking six martinis. Six martinis. His blood alcohol content was 0.12% above 0.12% above Michigan's legal drinking limit, which is 0.08. Fortunately, no one was injured during this particular wreck. Jalen Rose said, I have no one to blame but myself and for endangering the community, Rose said in court on Wednesday. Rose will go serve his time and will come out hopefully, with a different perspective. I have no doubt that he will. I have actually a lot of respect for Jalen Rose as an analyst and also as a player, and you know, just really saying his peace of mind on ESPN where a lot of other people don't. So unfortunate incident. He should have known better, yes, to drink six martinis and go driving around in the snow in Detroit. But as you have it, as it were, he's going to spend 20 days in the tank. He'll have plenty of time to think about it, I'm sure. Now, one more story tonight. This is something we've been doing in the last couple weeks. We had the Pastor Joan Elm story, and if you joined us last week, you'll know. I want to thank you, Maytag Washing Machines. I want to thank you, Talladega Nights, and Will Ferrell. But, you know, that bit. And then, you know, the week before, we did another funny bit. There's just never a shortage of funny stories in the sports world. Now, here's another one for you. Former NBA player Samaki Walker, who actually played his high school basketball in Ohio, tried to eat marijuana during a traffic stop in Kingman, Arizona this past Thursday, according to a newspaper report. The Las Vegas Review-Journal reported that Mr. Walker, who retired from the NBA in 2005-2006, swallowed the pot as a department public safety officer walked towards his 2002 Mercedes-Benz. Arizona officials also alleged that they seized 10 grams of marijuana, some prescription drugs, and 8 bottles of liquid steroids from the vehicle. Newspaper reported that Walker, who played again for 6 teams in the NBA, which span over 10 NBA seasons, allegedly indicated that the officer that he uses steroids because he plays professional basketball in Syria. Those steroids are legal in Syria, according to Samaki Walker. Possession is a misdemeanor in Arizona, police said. Walker, who played for the Dallas Mavericks, San Antonio Spurs, Los Angeles Lakers, Miami Heat, Washington Wizards, and the Indiana Pacers, was booked on drug charges, according to the newspaper. Bond was reportedly set at $2,000, with a preliminary hearing coming August the 5th. Now, when I originally heard this story, I kind of chuckled because I have this image of like the Cheech and Chong segment where they're just sitting there and they're like, you know, they're like, oh, this salad is so good, man. I just see like 6'10" Samaki Walker in this Mercedes Benz just munching away on this pot, like, oh, I'm gonna eat this pot and swallow it down. Oh, by the way, you have 8 liquid bottles of steroids in your vehicle. It's not like, you know, if you're worried about being searched, you know. I mean, really, just picture this guy sitting in his vehicle as the cops walk into his car and he's just shoving marijuana down his mouth, like, tasty. That's your funny sports story of the week right there. My name is Ryan. This is Unsigned. That's all I've got for you tonight. I want to thank you for hanging out with me as always. I want to give a thanks to Mike and the founder of Omnis TV and doing a wonderful job producing as well. Also, shout out to @CookerCarolyn. If you're interested, grab her cookbook, @CookerCarolyn on Twitter. Again, a lot of summertime to go, summer cookouts we mentioned, all kinds of different desserts and recipes, so definitely check that out. Over 45 recipes in the book, a lot of good stuff on there. Next week, as I said, we're going to have Mr. Jeff Sack on and hopefully some other guests moving on in the next couple weeks, so stay tuned for that here on Unsigned. Also, check me out at Ryan_Unsigned on Twitter. If you have any questions, concerns, anything you want to bring up that we've talked about on the show or things we didn't talk about on the show, feel free to reach out to me. My name is Ryan. It seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody. Take care. Have a good one.